Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Graduation day should be a time for students to enjoy and celebrate the end of their high school career. Should be a time to relax, look back on their school days, and breathe a sigh of relief. It should not be a time when you are told the words you want to speak during the closing exercise of the graduation ceremony are illegal to speak. But that is exactly what happened to a senior in Beaver High School in the Beaver Area School District. And to explain the situation, I've invited Jeremy Dice. He's with First Liberty Institute. He's a deputy general counsel there. And thanks, Jeremy, for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And what does the First Liberty Institute do? What is your kind of your mission there?
Yeah, we're a nationwide religious liberty law firm. All we do is defend religious liberty for all Americans.
Okay, religious liberties. Okay, definitely we see more and more attacks on our religious liberties. There's no doubt about that. So over Beaver County is about three counties southwest of where I'm sitting right now. What happened leading up to the June 2nd graduation at Beaver Valley School District?
Well, Mariah Bridges was asked by the senior class president of Beaver High School to provide the closing exercises there, and she created her remarks. The school district read them and responded. The superintendent responded directly, saying that effectively the remarks were too religious and had to be edited or not even given. And so Mariah was left with a choice: either she was to abandon the chance to address her classmates and wish them her best wishes on graduation day, or to compromise her ability to do so by having to, you know, kind of sanitize everything from religion within them.
So the superintendent did not like any religious components to Mariah's address.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so she was, in fact, the superintendent said that, look, you can give words of inspiration, but those words of inspiration need to be more or less secular. So she's okay for inspirational comments and words of hope and that sort of thing, but they had to be in the form of a secular inspirational comment or something like that.
Right.
So the problem that creates, as I think we can readily see, is that these are private remarks. She was selected through neutral criteria. She was given control over her remarks entirely. So this is classically what we call private speech, and the First Amendment protects that speech entirely. And so for the superintendent to come in and say, look, I disagree with the religious viewpoint that you're wishing to express here, not only does that violate just the straight-up analysis under the First Amendment, it violates it in terms of viewpoint discrimination.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right.
And the school district is not permitted to say we prefer one viewpoint over another.
Okay. Yeah, I know that a part of what Superintendent Dr. Carrie Rowe said was that she actually mischaracterized some of Mariah's statements and reclassified them, redefined them as invocation, prayer, or benediction, and said that's not permissible by federal law. So rather than looking at Mariah's speech as her personal remarks, her personal speech, Dr. Rowe was saying, well, it's a prayer, so that you can't say it. Basically, you can't say it on school property because it's against the law.
Look, what we're seeing is that here's a superintendent that seems to have some form of an allergy or heightened awareness of religious speech of any kind and seems to have the need to inoculate mm-hmm. the school district against it somehow.
Yeah.
But that doesn't need to be the case at all. I mean,
right.
Look, this is pretty clear when a student has this chance to provide mm-hmm. what are closing remarks, and they were, in fact, closing remarks.
Right.
The student gets to decide what that looks like.
Right,
now,
right.
They obviously can't, you know, violate or advocate the violent overthrow of the government or something like that. We
true,
of course,
right.
understand that. But
right.
The reality is that she was entitled to be able to say what she would like to say and draw upon
right.
her personal faith in doing so. There's certainly nothing that would violate the Constitution for doing that.
So the accusation that Dr. Rose made, because the letter was from her, my understanding, or the email response was from her, is my understanding.
Yeah, the email, yeah, she's okay. I think the principal there, I think, communicated the
okay.
message, but it was from the superintendent
okay.
to the students, yeah.
But she was saying that it's unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. It has been held as unconstitutional by the Supreme Court as a violation of the Establishment Clause. What is the Establishment Clause? We hear that all the time when we hear about these type of cases. Just what is that?
Yeah, the Establishment Clause is one of the first clauses within the First Amendment, and it requires that the state remain neutral towards religion. In other words, the Establishment Clause restrains the government from telling you what you should or should not believe, and prevents the government from being hostile towards religion.
So actually, she's guilty of taking unconstitutional steps in violation of the Establishment Clause. Dr. Carey is.
Yeah, and okay. Furthermore, there's another clause within the First Amendment, and that's called the Free Exercise Clause, mm-hmm. which protects the student's religious expression in this case. And don't forget, we had a case on this back in the 1960s called Tinker versus Des Moines, where the Supreme Court famously said that students do not shed their constitutional rights mm-hmm. when they walk through the schoolhouse gates. And not only do they not shed them there, they're able to carry them with them all the way through to the graduation ceremony. So it's perfectly permissible for a student to have her own religious expression within the school system, during class assignments, mm-hmm. class discussions, passing through the hallway, speeches that they may give, including graduation speeches.
Wow. And more and more we hear of the attacks on especially Christian students who are banned or censored when they want to speak their views on issues and such as that. But Dr. Rowe, they've sent out a press release on June 13th, and she mentions the Supreme Court case in 2000 involving the Santa Fe Independent School District. And you're down in Texas, and this Santa Fe, actually that's in New Mexico. Anyway, forget, my geography's not that good. What was a Santa Fe case, and why would she bring that up, Dr. Rowe?
Well, I guess you'd have to ask her, but the Santa Fe decision was one in which the school district wanted to have a prayer to be said over the loudspeaker and tried to kind of whitewash the students' involvement in that. So they effectively put into the system an effort to have prayer come out, and lo and behold, it actually did come out. But that's not the case here. Mm-hmm. What happened here is you have a student asking another student to provide the closing remarks. That student controls those remarks. And she's able to have it as private speech, fully protected. And frankly, it was surprising to see that press release by the superintendent, because it was clear to me that either the superintendent had not read the Department of Education's guidelines. The United mm-hmm. States Department of Education announced guidelines years ago that had been out there. I think they send them every year to the school districts. Mm-hmm. And it's been out there for a long time. So either she hasn't read them or just simply chose to ignore them. But I'm looking at it right now, and it says where students are selected for these kinds of things, I'm paraphrasing now, uh-huh. but where they retain primary control over the content of their expression, that expression is not attributable to the school and therefore uh-huh. may not be restricted because of its religious or anti-religious content. In other words, the United States Department of Education has given its blessing to speeches just like Mariah intended
mm-hmm.
to give.
Mm-hmm. And so, but they don't read that, obviously. Obviously, she hasn't read it. Seems like she's going by the advice of the school solicitor, the school's attorney there, and she's not doing the homework herself. She's dependent upon the advice of the solicitor. That's kind of my gut feeling. He has probably not read the Santa Fe decision either, or the Department of Education guidelines. It appears that way, because Mariah was forced to change her remarks to remove religious references, and of course, that was on June 2nd. And then she contacted you guys afterwards at First Liberty Institute. And what actions have you taken?
You're right. Mariah called us and was kind of curious about what the law actually was, because mm-hmm. she was concerned for future students who may want right. to try to do this thing in the future. So she asked what her options were and all that. We said, well, look, let's just at least send a letter to the school district, because the Supreme Court has said that even if you've lost your civil rights for a moment, it's an irreparable harm. Mm. And so she did, in fact, have to. She lost her civil rights there because she couldn't actually give her speech as she intended to mm-hmm. give. So she's been injured. But we sent a letter on Tuesday to the school district, and it's very simple. We just simply pointed out what the law is here, and then at the end asked for an apology, effectively a promise that this won't happen to future students, and then most importantly, a time when we could sit down and talk about what the law is here and figure out a way to protect student religious expression within Beaver Area School District.
Okay, so you're asking for an apology and a chance to sit down to educate them, shall we say, on what the law says. We actually sent them a fax the following day encouraging them to meet with you guys. So we did contact them also, the AVAPA did, asking them to follow through in setting up a meeting with First Liberty Institute. So hopefully hearing from someone within Pennsylvania, just a few counties over, that would kind of give them the nudge to contact you, I would hope. Because it's not just about Mariah Bridges. And her concern and your all's concern is future graduations, because this is not going to be the last graduation there at Beaver High School. There'll be graduations in 2018 and going forward. So it does not just impact her, but also future ones. And I'm just wondering whether this press release that the school district sent out on July 13th was in, or rather June 13th, was in response to your all's letter. I'm just guessing.
No, I think so. Yeah, yes, no, I'm sure it was, but... You know, if they would take the time to read through the letter, and we would be happy to sit down with the school district and develop a very clear policy that protects the very important right of free expression of students within the public school setting.
Right, because schools are misleading students on what their rights are. And so many students don't know what their rights are. Even if Mariah did not know on May 31st when she was contacted by the superintendent to make the changes, she did not know at that point what her rights were. So she went through and carried out did what she thought she had to do and made the changes. But I think this whole situation will help educate students, not just there in Beaver Area High School, school district, but other ones also, other areas.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. And I think Mariah would tell students listening now that if you got a question about this, go to firstliberty.org. You can either ask us a question, or probably the first best step is to simply download our Know Your Rights toolkit that we have available for students and teachers at firstliberty.org. Learn what your rights actually are. We can actually send you a copy of it that's small enough to put in your backpack or your folder or whatever it might be. But, you know, make sure that you have that at the ready so you know what your rights are and that you're quick and able to be able to preserve them.
Okay, so that you have that, because that was one of my questions was what are the rights of students? So you have that already, a document already put together that they can go to firstliberty.org and download, or you can send them a little booklet or something?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way to be able to do it is you can get it right on your iPad or on your Kindle or whatever. We have it as a PDF available for you to download or print out.
Okay, great, because there's so much confusion at this time of year, especially this time of year, graduation time, about baccalaureate and about graduation, what can and cannot be said. And I know when our oldest son graduated, there was an issue where the atheist student didn't want prayer during the graduation ceremony and contacted the ACLU. The ACLU contacted the school. The school backed down and said there'd be no prayer, blah, blah, blah. In the end, it worked out really great because the student who made the closing remarks read this piece that really had impacted her, and it was the Lord's Prayer. And the audience was immediately on the feet as soon as she said the first words. And it was just really neat the way that worked out. So, but anyway, that was several years ago. But students don't understand, and school districts don't understand. So I'm glad the First Liberty's there to be able to educate on just what can and cannot be done within a graduation setting. And I'm glad that Mariah did contact you guys and that you were so quickly engaged in the education process with the school district. And, And one of the things from this news release from the school, it seems that they require students who are going to speak at graduation to turn in their speeches for review by the school district. Should schools do that, or can schools legally do that?
Well, certainly schools are able to review the private remarks of a student, and typically they review them to make sure they're not engaged in profane talk or bad language like that, or somehow, like I said earlier, trying to advocate the overthrow of the government or something like that. But, you know, most kids who are going to be given the opportunity, valedictorians and others, to provide remarks to their students, that's the furthest thing from their mind on graduation day.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's perfectly fine. But what they cannot do is look into the religious viewpoint that is expressed by the student and say, oh, wait a minute, you can't say God here or Jesus there or whatever deity they may be referencing. You know, we had a couple years back, we had a young man out of California who was salutatorian of his class, given the chance to speak to his classmates, and the principal took his remarks and literally took a black marker and put a black censor bar through every reference of religion in his speech.
Mm-hmm.
And he was shocked by it all, and you know, we were able to help out there too, but that kind of thing happens on occasion, and it doesn't need to happen that way. Like I said before, it seems like school officials have this intense allergy to religion popping its ugly head up in the world in which they live, and so they feel the need to get out the pills and inoculate against any display of religion in public.
Yeah.
That's not neutrality. That's not the neutrality that the First Amendment requires. That is, in fact, hostility towards the religious expression of students who were promised by the Supreme Court and the First Amendment, I should add, that they don't have to shed their constitutional rights when they walk through the schoolhouse gates. So I think we ought to be encouraging our students to be able to utilize fully the civil rights that they possess, even when they are within the school system.
Yeah, I know. It seems like schools are allowing students to express their First Amendment rights when it comes to anti-government, their anti-government sentiment, especially since the November election. But it seems like they're picking and choosing as to what they will allow students, how they will allow students to exercise their First Amendment rights, and that, as you're saying, that's viewpoint discrimination, and that's against the law. So Christian students do have the right to express their religious beliefs, even during graduation, because that is their personal speech. They're not saying anything that represents the school, because it's not the school's words. It is, and it seemed like Dr. Rowe's concerns was that, well, since the school looked at the speech, thus it be viewed as the school giving approval for those words. That's kind of what I gathered from the news release. So that was my concern. Well, if the school had not asked to see Mariah's speech to review it, then the school could take no responsibility for what she said. But
yeah, I'm not sure it would have worked probably that way, but the bottom line is this, that Mariah, those comments were her own. They were not attributable to the school district. They were remarks that she had prepared and retained control over.
Yeah.
She was selected through a neutral criteria of being asked to provide these closing remarks,
mm-hmm.
and frankly, she could have gotten up there and sung the Star Spangled Banner or recited the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah.
She could have sung the school fight song. It was her chance to provide remarks to her classmates.
Right.
And she's got every liberty to be able to draw upon her Christian identity,
yeah.
to be able to express those best wishes and thoughts of inspiration to her classmates. And
right.
for the state to come in, the power of the state to come in and say, no, we disagree with this religious viewpoint. You need to be more secularized. Well, that's a really severe problem under the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And schools definitely need to be educated on the issue of the First Amendment when it comes to religious expression, because they don't understand it at all. So I'm hoping that Beaver Superintendent Dr. Carrie Rowe will contact you guys and the school board, because your letter was to Dr. Rowe as well as the school board members, and that they would see the necessity, really, of contacting you to become educated, because I don't really think... I mean, Beaver is a relatively small town. I don't think the majority of residents there appreciate what they did to Mariah Bridges on June 2nd for censoring her religious speech. So I'm hoping that they will contact you in order to become educated on the issues. Just run down real quick what students can and cannot do in the public school system when it comes to their Christian expression.
Yeah, students, like I said earlier, don't shed their constitutional rights when they go to school. And so they've got their right to be able to reference their religious beliefs within class assignments and class discussions and speeches. They have the freedom to be able to pray before, during, and after class, as long as it's not disrupting the mm-hmm. educational environment itself.
Can they take their Bibles
okay. into school, and they can certainly read them during times like free reading
okay.
time
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So, mm-hmm. so long as the students, this is kind of a broad general rule of thumb, but so long as our students are not disrupting the educational mission of the school itself, it is more than likely that they're going to be permitted to be able to exercise their religious beliefs.
Okay.
Now, that's not a license for students to get up on their desk and recite the Sermon on the Mount.
Right,
but,
or the Lord's Prayer, even as far as that goes, right.
Yeah, but it is certainly to allow them. Like, I had a client one time who wanted to read his Bible during free reading time at school and was
mm-hmm.
told that he couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course he can do that. If he can read Huckleberry Finn, he can
right.
certainly read John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
If you're entitled to read, as it was in this case, the Bhagavad Gita, certainly he can read also the scriptures that he had with his possession.
Yeah.
The school's job is to remain neutral towards the student's religious expression, not to be hostile towards it. They also have the right, I should add, as student clubs, to have equal access to different resources that the school provides to secular clubs. So if the chess club gets to meet, or the frisbee club gets to meet on campus and utilize student resources for that, then certainly the Bible study club or the Good News club or
mm-hmm.
whatever religious club you may have, they're permitted to do that as well, and the school cannot lawfully keep them off campus.
Okay, well, that's all very good news then. So, folks, give us your website again and just how they can get to the resources dealing with student rights in school.
Yeah, go to firstliberty.org, and if you scroll down, you won't have long before you'll see our Know Your Rights toolkits that are out
okay.
there, not only for the schools, but also for the military, for teachers and students. churches and religious organizations. There's a number of them available to you. But, you know, I'd also encourage you at firstliberty.org to swing by our podcast page and perhaps download that or subscribe to that on iTunes so that in 90 seconds, three times a week, you can hear the story of religious liberty. You know, okay. Ronald Reagan once told us that unless we liberty is not something we transmit through the bloodstream. Mm-hmm. The same thing's true with religious liberty. We don't pass it on by our DNA.
That's true.
You and I have got to recommit ourselves to preserving this concept of religious liberty, lest we would lose it.
Absolutely. We definitely need to do that, and we as a country need to learn that lesson real quickly, for sure. So firstliberty.org, and I do encourage our listeners to check that website out, firstliberty.org, and first is all spelled out, right? F-I-R-S-T?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So firstliberty.org, and thanks so much, Jeremy, for being with us and for explaining the situation there over in Beaver County and for stepping up to defend Moriah Bridges and to help educate Beaver Area School District on this issue.
Happy to do it. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.